Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast. It's been a superb week for Jules. Two really good victories against Blackpool first off on Tuesday evening, followed up with a 2-1 home win against Doncaster Rovers at Priestfield. Joining me is James Hawkins as we look back over both victories and look ahead to Tuesday's upcoming visit to Roots Hall to take on struggling Southend United. James, before we come on to today's game, we both watched the Blackpool game on iFollow on Tuesday.
We did.
On the 70-minute mark, I don't think anyone would have had any idea that the final score in that game was going to be Blackpool 2, Gillingham 3.
Not clue, because we were absolutely just for 70 minutes. That's exactly why. It was crazy, wasn't it? Crazy, but I mean the game management from Mr. Evans, and yeah, Charles Cook has come on and effectively changed the game. I think he started at half time where we've made the change for O'Keefe, and I think that sparked us into life a little bit, and you saw us get hold of the ball a little bit more, and then Charles Cook entered the frame. And we just suddenly looked, a new lease of life about us. We stepped into a new gear. The first goal is a wicked ball through from Jordan Roberts, and it's a bit of a weird one for it with Akindi. He takes it on his left, and we were saying at Priestfield today that we think he does it because he deliberately cuts across the defender. That if the defender wants to stop him, he's going to take him out. But it's a wonderful finish from Big John, and for me, as soon as you run through on goal, there was only really going to be one outcome. Regan's one was that, it was a fantastic finish by Regan, absolutely brilliant, and for obviously the third, it was, of course, it was a man that both of us have been slagging off all season, but could he miss? Well, if Brandon Allen, of course he could.
No, well, of course, it's a goal that was made by the delivery.
No, it was. It was
absolutely superb. But to be honest, with the euphoria of actually seeing it hit the net, I didn't realise straight away who it was. So I assumed it'd be an Akindi or an Aymor or an Ogilvy or something like that. So when I say it was Handlin, I was caught a little bit by surprise. But, obviously, Evans probably had his hand forced a little bit because, obviously, Jones is injured. Willock, he said, was struggling after starting the previous game at Burton. O'Keefe had been struggling with an injury, so he ended up going with a very, very attack-minded starting 11 and not a lot of sort of protection in midfield. And I know a lot of people were quite excited about it at the time, but it didn't suit us, did it, at all?
No, and it killed us. And you see, for the first goal, they completely cut us open down the left-hand side. For me, Barry and O'Connor are too weak in a challenge. They should just stop him. Like, just tactical foul, just take him out, and they don't know. He lets him run through, and he's a big guy anyway, and he just rolls it past Bonham. Effectively, they should be two up when Medin somehow passes it into Bonham's hands from a yard out, and that should be effectively game over. But look, when you're chasing promotion and luck, and you need a little bit of luck going your way, and we did have it, and then at half time, I think Steven. I quickly realised that what I looked like on paper, it was going to be a run right Jill side. It wasn't. And I think it was evidently clear that as soon as O'Keefe had stepped onto the pitch and we'd started moving forward the first 20 minutes of the second half, how instrumental he is to the Jill side. And I thought, well. And then they pulled it back to 2-2 and I thought, well, there's the playoffs. And 30 seconds later, up pops Brandon. And look, it gets a lot of criticism from both me and you. And yes, it is a free header. But yes, we have seen him miss from there before. And he gets on target and he scores. And look, when three massive things that I took out from Tuesday night was the fact was that how big Stuart O'Keefe is to the Gillingham side. The fact that Charles Cook has barely played a minute under Steve Evans this season, and yet he still has the character and the heart and the desire to say, you know what, I'm actually going to show you that I'm worth it in this Gill side and come on and score. And yeah, the fact is that this Gill side never know when they're beaten. And when you've got that sort of attitude, yeah, we are, as it stands, 7 points off the playoffs, but we're giving ourselves one hell of a chance, aren't we?
Yeah, so. Because it's almost become a hallmark of this team is that, yeah, for 70 minutes, we was awful. For the first half, the system didn't work and we probably should have been 2 or 3 down. But it just seems to be the way this team is that we don't go 2 and 3 down.
No.
We hang in. Mm. At times it might look like we're clinging on for dear life, but we dig in. We might have to have a couple of last-ditch blocks on the edge of the box or things like that to save ourselves, but we keep ourselves in with a chance. And then, don't matter how bad we were for 70 minutes, Akindi only needs one chance, and yeah, he's going to put the ball in the back of the net. Yeah. Because I think Oxford away and Rotherham at home are probably the only 2 times all season we've gone 2-0 down.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad going. Because then at 1-0, anything can happen in a game.
Yeah.
We'll come on to it in a bit. But like today, we're 1-0 down. Then a big moment happens and the game can change.
Yeah.
And ultimately, nothing changes games more than goals. And we see that. We get the equaliser and then, what is it, 2 minutes later, we're in front. And yeah, and then it looked like the playoff charge was on. And then, yeah, apparently everyone thinks that their, excuse me, their equaliser is offside. I don't know. I've not seen it back. But yeah, because Charles Cook didn't have a shot and he went for a corner.
Yeah.
And I was watching with my dad and I said, no, we can't. Not from a corner. And then the delivery in was superb. Then, yeah, to see it hit the net. And yeah, but how important do you think it was that we, especially in those kind of circumstances, got another away win under our belt?
Yeah, massive. Mentally, more than anything, that, yeah, massive. It's massive. Absolute huge for us to go to a place like Blackpool as well. That it's a tough place to go. It's a tough place to go. And yeah, massive, massive. And I screwed my house down. I've never celebrated, pretty much never celebrated a goal so much. And because it was just such a big win. And it felt like a turning point. It felt like a point that kind of Gills fans looked at it and went, we can't, can we? We can't do this, can we? But they always say there's one team every single year that rides up through the mid-table, hit the playoffs banging form and end up going up. Look, we've got 13 games left. We're seven points off. 7 points off. I know, and Evans is quite right. Where I was listening to him on the radio on the way to the game today, and yeah, he reckons that we need to finish on 71 points, meaning that I think BBC Radio Kent works it out, and we need to win all our home games and draw all our away games. I don't think that's unrealistic. I don't think that is unrealistic.
No.
You look at the games that we've got coming up. Yeah, look, they're tough. But we've played Portsmouth twice.
They were tough. We've played Peterborough twice.
We've played Ipswich twice.
Ipswich was tough.
We've played Peterborough twice. We've played Oxford twice. I know we've still got to go to Rotherham and Sunderland. But obviously, Wimbledon just got a point at Rotherham today. We've got a point up at the Stadium of Light in the FA Cup. Like, this Gill team, on their day, will beat anyone in the league. I personally think we will fall just short. But I think this side are going to have one hell of a go at it. One hell of a go at it. And I think if we can hit March 3 points off, meaning that I think we look, people are going to come back to this podcast and go, why have you said that for? We will win Tuesday. Surely.
I'd be amazed if we don't win Tuesday, yeah.
I think I think Lincoln are not having a great time under Appleton.
Well, I didn't know until I was told earlier that Walker isn't there anymore.
No, he's been starting for Forest.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, no.
So yeah, but they must be short on goals a little bit at the moment.
And I'm sure Big John will want to go back there and score. And then yeah, we've got Wimbledon at home, haven't we? The next three games are totally winnable for this Jill side. And I think if we can pick up a win Tuesday night, a point at Lincoln and beat Wimbledon,
we're in it. We're in the hunt.
We're banging it. Because the teams have got to play each other. I come away from today and I thought, no, we can't. We surely can't. And then you look at the league table and then you look at our fixtures and you think, no, we've got a chance here. And then the hope starts growing. And it's going to be a real interesting end to the season, isn't it? A real interesting end.
Yeah, because it's one of them, like you say, it could be one that we come back to this on Tuesday and look like idiots, but you just look at us at the moment and you do not see where we're going to get beat.
No.
Because we're playing, we're playing that well most weeks, but even weeks when we're not playing that well, a result's come in.
Yeah.
You know, like we say, Tuesday, we was rubbish for three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
Yet come away with 3 points.
Yeah.
Whereas there's been games where we've dominated for 90 minutes and then he got a draw.
Was we that good today? I don't think so.
It wasn't amazing. We played better.
Did we get out of first gear?
Not really.
We started the game 10 minutes and we were flying. And obviously, to be fair, they scored a peach. And then the red card happens and then that's it. Like, there was only going to be one winner from there. And yeah, like you say, where are we going to get beat? One of the best in the country. It says it all.
Behind Liverpool at the moment for unbeaten run, 13. But yeah, obviously, after the Blackpool win, I see the comment on social media that it was the first time this season we'd won a game from behind. So lo and behold, such is Sod's law, it happens two games running. today was a weird one because I thought we started the game quite well and then fell behind. Like you say, it's a very, very good finish. I don't think Max Aymer will want to see it back because I think he's still looking for where the bloke is. It's a really clever turn and he sort of, as he's turning back,
I think Aymer slips.
There was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Roberts, especially.
Yeah, I mean,
he
did need to change his boots a little bit.
But
I don't actually think the guy manages wants to control it like that. I think he tried to trap it.
Yeah.
And it obviously spins away from him, but it sends Aymer down the M25. And so, the finish after it's absolutely wicked. It's an awesome finish, and it needs to be to beat Jack Bonham, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then obviously from then, sort of, we're sitting there saying, just get into half-time 1-0, because it looked quite clear that we was playing against the conditions first off. They had a couple of set pieces that were blowing in right under Jack Bonham's crossbar, whereas we was trying to get the ball forward, and it just looked like it kept coming back, so... Yeah, we were saying get in at half-time 1-0 and we'll probably fancy ourselves second half. But then obviously the game changed with the red card. I've got to be honest, I didn't see exactly what happened that well myself.
No.
But I thought the reaction from both our dugout and the Medway stand suggested it was going to be a red card.
Yeah.
And
A lot of people give Evans a bad rep, but I've kind of noticed this season that he only kind of loses his head when he kind of knows, and I think that was the first real time I've seen him completely lose it, and he absolutely lost it, and then you see the fourth official kind of walk away from the two dugouts towards the referee, and you thought he's going to get sent off here, and it's going to finish shooting from the fourth official because he stepped in, he's seen something, he's obviously helped the referee out because the referee probably hasn't seen it. And so, and then it swings the momentum back our way, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I said to you that obviously it was the centre forward, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you've got to be pretty brain dead to throw your elbows around on the halfway line, directly in eye line with the fourth official when you're about 3 yards away from him, yeah, he isn't going to not see it.
No.
So, yeah, like you say, as soon as the fourth official walked away on his own, you knew he was going to speak to the ref and he was only going to say, this is a red card.
Yeah.
And yeah, and even from then, I think if we'd have gone in at half-time 1-0 down, we still probably would have thought, yeah, conditions are on our side, second half, we'll fancy ourselves. But we managed to find the equaliser just before half-time, and I can't explain it other than a corner went in and the ball ended up in the net of one of their players. That's all as much as I can say.
Yeah.
It's obviously, I don't know if it's hit a post and hit a player or hit the keeper and hit the player and gone in, but it's an own goal. But
you put the ball into an area.
Yeah.
And things happened, didn't it?
In conditions like today, he took a couple, didn't he, Tommy, and couldn't beat the first man, and it was a bit frustrating. Yeah. But yeah, in conditions like today, it's just get it in between them posts and you don't know what can happen. And we got the goal and obviously went in at half-time 1-0, and I think, let's be honest, everyone knew then, we're going to go and win this. There's going to be a moment. But first 10-15 minutes of the second half, it's not like we had a lot of ball, but I don't think we was banging the door down by any stretch of the imagination. No. But obviously Evans made the change, which I can see why he did it. Playing against 10 men, he made the attack-minded change to bring Willock on for O'Keefe. The question I would have had of it is that I'd have taken O'Connor off instead of O'Keefe, because I thought O'Connor generally had a poor afternoon.
Yeah, he did.
But
was and it like to we protect O'Keefe?
It could be, like I said to you, because he has been struggling. But I think we also see that we become more open again once O'Keefe went off. But on the flip side, the player that come on had almost an instant impact and was involved in the goal. He broke through midfield, played the ball out to Roberts.
Wicked
and
ball.
It's a great delivery, isn't it? Which causes that John, for the second time, to get his feet in a mess and nutmeg his own goalkeeper.
Ball. Awesome ball. And I'm pretty sure, I haven't seen it back, but I'm pretty sure if he don't touch it, Akindi puts it in anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's an awesome ball. And I'll tell you what, he was absolutely awesome all afternoon, Jordan Roberts. If for me, obviously I don't see a lot of Jill's games now, but yeah, it was his best game in the Jill shirt for me. I thought he was brilliant. I thought his first, in terrible conditions, his first touch all afternoon was exquisite. I know he slipped over a few times, but he's managed to recover it. His work rate was brilliant. His footwork was awesome. Yeah, I think he's a brilliant addition to the Steel side. I think he's clever. He calms play down when he needs to. He makes things happen. He puts the ball into right areas. He works wonderfully off John Akindi. I think he's brilliant to this dual side, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for this afternoon. And who got man of the match in the end?
Tucker.
That boy's going to go for 5 million, I think, five plus million. But I would have gone a close second of Jordan Roberts this afternoon because I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, because obviously, like you say, it's a great cross, and the defender, obviously, because he knows Akindi's lurking, he feels like he has to try and get contact on the ball somehow and gets it horribly wrong, and it is a striker's finish through the goalkeeper's legs. And that's us 2-1 up, and you think from there, we'll go and get the third and completely wrap it up. But it didn't really pan out that way, did it? We probably made it harder work than we should have done, would you say?
Yeah, we sat off tearing the air out. We sat far too deep, and I don't know why. We didn't need to do that. We had the game in the palm of our hands, and I think it was a scary moment when they hit the post, didn't they?
Yeah, they come close.
It was a few hairy moments. But look, job done. We've got the 3 points. We're a step closer. But yeah, I want. Overly pleased with how much we sat back, but yeah, sometimes they say it's harder playing against 10 men than it is 11, because the game obviously becomes a little bit more stretched. Teams and Doncaster thought, look, we might as well go for this, and for some reason we sat back on the edge of our own area, which is a little bit weird. But in conditions like today, it was all about getting 3 points, and we've done it, haven't we?
Yeah, and obviously it's another home win. You were touching on our fixtures a minute ago, and you probably say our two toughest games left this season are away, Sunderland, Rotherham.
Yeah.
Can you see us losing another home game?
No. No. I'd probably go as far as saying we won't get beat at Priestley for the rest of the season.
I think the only one possibly is Coventry.
Yeah, potentially. But even then, I think it'd be a point. We're strong. Teams fear coming to Priestfield. And that's the difference. That's the difference between this season and last season. It's the fact is, you're coming to Priestfield and you're going to play at our pace. And we're going to dictate the game. Not we're going to let Shrewsbury and Blackpool and Walsall and whatever it is come down to Priestfield and have 75-80% possession all the time. Not going to happen under this Gillingham side. At Priestfield, we dictate the play and we dictate how the game goes. Like today, we didn't really step out of first gear, but we knew the moment where to hit them, and we did it. So no, in all seriousness, I can't see us losing another home game.
Yeah, so it's obviously 13 unbeaten.
Just got to make sure we don't draw so many. That's the problem.
Do you want a little fun fact?
Go for it.
We could lose every single game we have remaining this season and we would still have less defeats than last season. We now can't lose as many games as we lost last season.
And yet some people still say there's no improvement from last season.
We're on 49 points already. I think we only got 53 last season. We're gonna get 49, 13 to go. I reckon we're looking at, and it probably will end up short of the playoffs, I think 66, 67 will end up on.
You think?
Which, there are some seasons where that probably does creep you in. So, yeah. Listen, we're in the top 10 in the middle of February. I think if before the season started, anyone had offered you that, you'd have said, please.
Yeah.
And especially given how slowly we started the season, and people were starting to get impatient, and then a lot of people
weren't we?
Saying it's going to come. Admittedly, wins do need to come soon, but the signs are there that the poor form is not long term. We're playing too well, and eventually it will turn, and that's how it's panned out. You know, we've got a couple of wins, and then it's just a case of momentum snowballs, doesn't it? And we've gone on and on and on to the point now that we can play crap for 70 minutes and still win a game.
Yeah.
Because there's just that belief. And that's... Had we have been in Tuesday night, for example, say we'd been in form where we'd lost two of our last three games, we don't go up the other end and score when Blackpool equalise in the 92nd minute.
No.
That comes from a team that doesn't know how to lose.
Yeah.
We've lost less games than the team that are sitting top of the table. Ever think about that?
Yeah. And it's frustrating, isn't it? It's highly frustrating because, yeah, Steve said it in his press conference in the week that it is mad, like you've just said, we've lost less games than the team top of our league, but yet we sit 10th because we have just drawn too many games, and that is the unfortunate thing. But football can turn very quickly, and if we go and win the next 4 or 5 in a row,
it's
we're
like you
say, back in it.
The next three games,
the final season.
Oh, you would probably say we're favourite for the three of them.
Yeah, definitely.
And that could then be 5 wins in a row. In which case, you are. Listen. There's 3 games. There's a lot of football to be played. A lot can happen. If we was to win the next 3 games, we are banging the door down right as strong as this wind is out here. If you win 5 games in a row from the position we were in, you are going to be banging on that door.
Yeah.
And I was saying to you earlier, we've still got a game in hand on Wickham. Oh, I still think there's a bit of squeaky bum time in them to come, because that's not known territory for them. Yeah, we're 9 points behind Peterborough. We've got 2 games in hand on them.
Yeah.
Peterborough, a very funny side. They've done it this season that they're in great form at the moment.
Well,
they lost today, but they were in great form. But when we played them, they hadn't won for ages. So you don't know what you're going to get with them. And Coventry, another one that very good form at the moment, but
Had they peaked too early?
Wouldn't you do get that? Well, we've been in that position before, yeah, where we've been so strong for most of the season, and then one result goes against you.
You look at us under Justin. When weren't we third or something like in February?
Yeah,
And then we just, and then we went and like completely bottled it and ended up finishing ninth. There's absolutely no reason why two or three teams in that top six sitting at the moment cannot bottle it.
And yeah, I think we're only like 10 points off third. And
yeah,
it sounds a lot, but it's not a lot.
No.
If that makes sense. That can, it's not. Two or three consecutive wins and that cuts in half straight away.
Yeah.
So for me, I still think, if with five games to go, we're within 6 points, we've got a chance. And you put it like that, right, in the next 7 or 8 games, we only need to gain 1 or 2 points on the playoff pack.
Yeah, yeah.
You put it like that, and it's very, very doable. Evans has now hit the nail on the head himself. From the Burton game, he said we need 2 points a game.
Yeah.
We're going above that at the moment because we've taken seven from three.
Yeah.
So we're above that rate at the moment, which means, obviously, if you do win more than you can afford to, it means you can have your draw here or there and you'll make up for it. But, yeah, we're in a great position.
Well, I said to you coming out of the ground, come Tuesday night, we could be 4 points off the playoffs. 4 points off the playoffs. And people say, yeah, but Portsmouth have got a game in hand. They've got to win them games.
Points on the board is always more important because that then puts more pressure on the teams above to win them games, knowing we're 4 points behind them, not seven.
Yeah.
Like this from mid-February onwards, it's all about timing. It's about being in the right form and the right place at the right time.
Yeah,
we're not in the position of a Wickham, a Coventry, a Fleetwood, who I think are up there, where the pressure is on them to hold on to the positions they've got. There's no pressure on us.
No,
if we finish 10th, everyone will look and say good season.
Yeah,
we'll just go out and keep doing our thing and we'll keep churning out results like we're doing and go, when you lot make a mistake, we're going to be here to take it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You look at, Yeah. I mean, teams do it time and time again. Where I remember when, I know obviously this is years and years, when we got promoted out of League Two under Stimpson, but I'm pretty sure from February onwards, we went on a crazy run, ended up sneaking into the playoffs, ended up winning the semi-final, ended up winning the final, getting promoted.
And that year under Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, Barnsley won the playoffs that year.
Yeah, they were.
They were bottom at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's all about timing.
Yeah, it is.
And at the moment, we're sitting quite comfortably in that regard.
I think teams are worried about
us. We're the second best in the country.
I think teams are worried about us. I think they're looking at us and going, they're coming, and people are not going to stop them. And We have got to hit March. March will define our season. Whether we're going to be in that promotion push, or that's it. We have got to hit March, in my opinion. In my opinion, March. Four or five off.
Which is possible with the games we're coming up. Very, very possible.
Because if we're any more than that, March is a very difficult month. I think we've got Sunderland.
Yeah.
MK Dons. Fleetwood. And I can't remember who else. There was someone else. Coventry.
Yeah, probably is
Coventry. Yeah, that's a tough month. So if we can hit that, hit there, four or five points behind that pack, and you never know. You never know. But we need to. These three games are massive for us now. Huge. Massive. They're so big. So big in our season.
Yeah. And obviously we'll come on to that now, because it's, again, it's a bit of a hectic time of the season. You know, we've played Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, and we go again on Tuesday, because of our success in the Cup, getting the West Ham game. Southend was called off.
Yeah.
It's been rescheduled for Tuesday. Yeah, it's hard to make any case for us not winning this game, which in Gillingham fashion is probably a worrying thing.
It is.
But you've just told me that they've now not got a goalkeeper.
What have I got, an 18-year-old? Mark Oxley injured himself in the game today.
To be honest with you, I don't know what's gone on there this season, why they've become such a state, but we dispatched of them fairly comfortably at home, didn't we? I think that was 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't see anything but 3 points, surely.
Absolutely no chance. Because you can kiss goodbye to those players if we don't go and beat Southend Tuesday night. But it is true Gillingham fashion to not go and beat Southend Tuesday night. Surely we've got enough. We've got to score early, though.
That's funny. I do get the impression with Southend that it's a case of getting the one. Because I think if you get the one early enough, the floodgates soon open. Because, is it last week? It might have been Tuesday night. They played Peterborough away. And at half time, it was 0-0.
Yeah.
And Peterborough scored just after the restart, and they lost 4-0.
Yeah. Coventry today was a little bit the same. I think they scored 1 and 2.
So the sooner you get the one.
Yeah. The second.
You'll soon get.
Don't have a great record at Rootsall, though, do we? It's not.
It's very. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, it is.
So obviously, I've seen us win 1-0 there. I've seen us win twice there in 4 days.
I mean, I remember us.
And then I remember 4-0.
Well, even on 70 minutes last season.
So we've not had a. Well, we've had a couple of good results there. We've had a couple of not so good results there. But I don't think we've ever played them when they're in such a crisis as they're in at the moment.
No.
I mean, Tuesday night, Sol Campbell couldn't even remember what team he was managing. He called him Southampton. So, I mean, they're a million miles away from being Southampton, that's for sure. But another talking point for Tuesday is that the game is being refereed by Mr. Trevor Kettle.
Brilliant. Oh, well, there's your downfall, isn't it?
But no, in terms of us, do you envisage any changes to the starting 11? Or would you make any?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would. I would bring O'Connor out and put Lee in.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I would probably go midfield 3 of Pringle, O'Keefe and Lee, and then a front 3 of Hand and Roberts and Kindy, and then obviously the same back 5.
Yeah, pitch picks itself now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Did you said to me earlier how long they've played together for?
15
now?
Games.
See, you think about the last 2-3 seasons, that never happened at all.
Yeah.
It was changing almost a weekly basis, wasn't it? And that consistency is just proven so valuable.
You go through them all. I mean, I'd probably go as far as saying that Jack Bunham's the best goalkeeper in this division.
Well, Thomas Hardy got an assist today.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Shit. he's all right. I think Bonham's better. Fuller's just like a fine wine, isn't he? Getting better with age. Aimer looks $1 million. Looks $1 million. I've criticised Max for quite a while. Certainly before this season, I thought last season he was poor. But I think he's been outstanding this year. And a lot of people give him a lot of criticism, including myself. And there are times where I think he should deal with things better. But if he dealt with things better, then he probably wouldn't be playing at this level. But what he does give you is heart and soul. I think he's looking more of a leader. I think he's grown into that captain's role, certainly as he's had it. He puts his body on the line, doesn't he? I think he's wonderful with his feet. And then you've got the wonder kid next to him that's going to go for 5-6 million in a couple of years' time. I think that boy will play Premier League. A shadow of a doubt.
He just doesn't put a foot wrong, does he?
No.
Everything is immaculate.
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously you've got Conor Ogilvie in. He looks a million miles away from.
I think that's a twin.
Yeah. What the hell?
That is not the same player that we are playing for us last season. It can't be. It can't be.
We talk about Southend, yeah? When we got beat 4-0 there. How bad was he that day?
Yeah. Yeah,
probably the worst performance I've seen in a Gingham shirt, and he is unbelievable now. He's absolutely unbelievable. One of the best fullbacks in this division, without a shadow of a doubt. And
Evan touched on that the other day, actually, after the Blackpool game. Yeah. I listened to his iFollow interview, and he was praising Hanlon, because obviously he played out on the right.
Yeah.
And he was, I can't remember who that left back was, but he was saying about him, saying, oh, he went for £1 million a couple of years ago, and like Hanlon gave him the runaround. You know, Hanlon's given a runaround to one of the best left backs in the division. He went, not the best, though, because we've got him.
Can anyone argue?
But I wonder if Evans is a bit surprised himself, because we both sat there and listened to the words come out of his mouth. Conor Ogilvie will not be playing left back under me. Yeah. Yeah. Now he's the best left back in League One.
Yeah. I think it shocked us all. It shocked us all how good he is, how good he's been. And it, I think it's just come from he's had a few good games there, and then confidence just built and built and built and built, and then it's come from partnerships, and he's had Jack alongside him for a while. When it's probably helped him as well that he's got a younger kid next to him, meaning that he's probably got to be a little bit more experienced with a bit of know-how, that he's got to Jack's got to protect him, and he's got to protect Jack a little bit, and partnerships then work, don't they? And then he's been outstanding. He's popped up with a couple of goals, hasn't he? His delivery is second to none. Not sure about the long throws.
No. And he does get his annual weekly whack, doesn't he?
He does.
Every single
week. Today, though?
He did. In the second half, he stayed down for ages.
Oh, he did, yeah.
I can't remember what happened, but it happens every week. He gets a clattering from someone. But
might be ginger. That's what you want.
He puts himself in there, doesn't he? He's willing to put himself in where it hurts, as and when he needs to.
Yeah.
As Evans has got going from most of them, to be honest. Yeah. And that's part of what makes this team what it is. You know, there's very little to dislike about this team. They frustrate us at times with the fact that we waste chances.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but they don't do it on purpose.
No.
But they make up for it in so many other areas, don't they?
Yeah, and they look like they are running through brick walls for that manager. And people can sit here and say that Steve Evans is not good for this football club and he should be nowhere near this football club. Steve Evans is one of the best things that's ever happened to this football club. He is an outstanding manager and we are very, very lucky to have him. And people say, oh, you're going well over the top. With the dross that we've put up with for the past few years, he has been exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. The way and people say, oh, he's coming with his reputation. I think he's conducted himself in an absolutely fantastic way. From, oh, he has his little moments and things like that, but
I want my manager to. I want my manager to have little moments, to be honest. Yeah. Show a bit of art.
Yeah.
So that they actually want to win.
We scored last minute equalisers last season under Steve Lowe. I didn't see him running down a touchline at Bloomfield Road. Oh, it was sat by then.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. Yeah.
But I was saying to James Clew earlier that this is a massive eye-opener to Paul Scally now. That you can't keep appointing jobs for your mates. Every time that we've appointed a manager that's had nothing to do with this football club, we've had success. Mark Stimpson, Martin Allen, Justin Edinburgh, Steve Evans. Now, obviously, Justin didn't get us promoted, but he took us to the closest possible chance we've had to the Championship as we possibly could. You then look at the managers that sit in between that. Andy Essenthaler, Steve Lovell, AD Pennock. Three not very good managers that have been at this football club. Now, Hess was unfortunate at the fact that the budget weren't there at the time and things happened and things like that. Steve come in and had a really good run, but look, when he got his squad together, it kind of showed that. And people would say, but we finished 13th. Yeah, we finished 13th because the rest of the division were crap.
We finished 13th, yet we've already almost got the same amount of points this season.
Yeah, and we had four home wins all season? Five home wins?
Five, I think.
Five home wins all season. And then, we don't need to go there at all. As simple as that, don't we? But I think my point being is that I think it massively opens up It opens Skelly, it should open up Skelly's eyes up that if and when Mr. Evans does move on, we can't, as a football club, go back down the route of appointing jobs for your mates. Now, for me, if we finish outside the playoffs this year, I really, really, really hope that Steve wants to stay and sees this as a project to get us into the Championship. And I think he should. He's already come out and said in his interviews before that he sees this as the toughest challenge he's had in his career yet to date. But what an achievement it would be if he got Gillingham Football Club into the Championship. And if we finished 8th this year, or 9th this year, and we finished 4 points outside the playoffs, Scully and Steve surely have to look at that and think, let's go. Let's go and do it. Yeah, I think if we, it all depends if we can keep Steve Evans for next year. If we can, we've got well ahead of a chance of the playoffs. If we don't miraculously make it this year. But credit to him.
No, what absolute I think credit I'll to say him. With the job he's doing is that, like I say, some people may say, well, we're only 10th and we've only finished 13th last season. But like I say, we can't lose as many games as last season. The home form has been blown out of the water.
Yeah.
And we're going to finish in the top half this season.
Yeah.
And people may still say, oh, yeah, but it's only a couple of places higher. He walks into this football club with no goalkeeper who, I mean, I wasn't of a belief of mine personally, but a lot of Jules fans said he was the best goalkeeper in League One, Thomas Holy, left. And one of the top three goal scorers in the division had just left.
Yeah.
Any manager coming into that environment, it's going to be tough. And then people say, he's the wrong fit. He can't work on a low budget.
Yeah.
Open your eyes.
Yeah.
Well, if this isn't working wonders on a low budget, I don't know what is.
No.
Yeah, he's had a little bit. He's had a little bit in January. Let's be honest. John Akindi is not. He's a more expensive player than we've been used to in the last couple of years. But he's not a. He's not going to bankrupt the club. Bring John Akindi in by any stretch of the imagination. And like you say, the likelihood is we won't make the playoffs this season.
Yeah.
But if we can finish within a few points, that's the key. Keep most of this group together.
We've got to. Yeah.
And then add, because this is what I think a big problem has been in recent seasons. We've changed manager too often. We've changed manager to people without the experience. That the summer comes in and they'll go, right, you out, and we'll bring in 15 new players.
Yeah.
And then you're starting from base every single year. Whereas I think what would happen this summer is we'd go, right, we've had a really good season here,
yeah,
so we want to keep most of you together, and then instead of bringing in 10, 11 players in the summer, bring 3 or 4 in that are going to genuinely add quality.
Yeah, real quality.
Which will then take us to the next step.
Real quality.
And I think that's probably what Evans is looking at. He's thinking, we'll build foundations. Because this season has been building foundations, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you've got to look at, look, we've got a goalkeeper that is, in my opinion, the best goalkeeper in the division. I've just said that. The question that I would have in my mind that when you then go through the team is Barry then going to be able to play another 40 games next year? I don't think so. But he's been defining odds. Can he define odds again? You've got two centre-halves at the football club that I think Max is starting to hit the peak of his career. Jack, we tied him down for another couple of years. He will just get better and better and better. You've got a left-back that's playing unbelievably well and is one of the best left-backs in this division. So you've got pretty much the back five sorted. If you get in another full-back that potentially could replace Barry, yeah, maybe. I don't know. O'Keefe is instrumental into this dual side, and every successful side needs a Stuart O'Keefe. You look at then Alfie Jones, probably will end up going back to Southampton, but is he likely to go back and break into their first team? How well they're doing under their manager now? Probably not. So could we maybe get him again? Potentially. Tommy O'Connor, potentially. Matty Willock will grow because of his good age. You then look at Ben Pringle. He's starting to come into full fitness now and looking like the Pringle that was at Rotherham. He will only get better. You look at Jordan Roberts, Woolwich, which really look at Jordan. And yeah, I think that he's going to play in our first team. Probably not. Could we potentially buy him in the summer? I think so. I don't see any reason why not. You've then obviously got Jordan Graham. Will Wolves look at him and think, is he going to break into the first team? Potentially not. Or is it a case that we've just pulled him in to help us out a little bit? Maybe. Then you've got, obviously, the big man. Yeah, he is who he is.
If we'd have had him from the start of the season, we'd probably be in the playoffs.
We'd be in the playoffs. Brandon. Brandon's Brandon. Could we go and get a better forward in the summer? Definitely. 100%. 100%. Brandon will develop and grow at this football club under a very good manager. Yes, he frustrates at times, but he's got very good attributes. If Consulti's finishing out, it'd be one hell of a forward. He's still at a very, very, very good age, which is good for him. Time's on his side. We've got the foundations of a fantastic side there. Like you say, you're hitting now on the head. If we can go and make 3 or 4 quality additions in a summer, if we don't make the playoffs this season, we will 100% make the playoffs next year, providing we keep the gaffer.
Yeah, and obviously the concern some people probably will have, people might say, oh, there was interest in January, so there is going to be interest in Tucker. But like you said, the good thing is that because we've got him down to the new contract, we hold all the cards now when it comes to Jack Tucker.
Yeah.
And people may scoff when you say he's worth 5-6 million quid. No, that's football now. Jack Tucker is 5 million plus footballer.
Yeah.
Without any shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And if the worst, because listen, I do not want Jack Tucker to leave this football club in the summer.
No.
But if we was offered 5 million, for example, we have to be a little bit sensible. But providing then Scally was sensible, and he went, right, I'll accept 5 million, but I'll give you half of that Steve Evans, he will get you promoted on that money.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%. Yeah, definitely.
Don't get me wrong, if we're getting offered 1-2 million quid for Jack Tucker, I say no, thank you. Because
he ain't going to take.
He's worth more than that.
And I'm pretty sure this club's already offered that money, and we've rejected it.
So like I said, we hold all the cards in that situation. So it's one of them that if we keep him, fantastic. We've got an amazing young centre-back on our hands. But if we do sell him, we know it's going to be for a big price, which if Evans is then backed with it, he's going to make the team better out.
And I think he would have to.
So,
and I think Evans will be knocking that door down to make sure he is.
100%. And that is the important thing for Evans, is that yeah, this season may only have been him trying to lay foundations, but it had to be an element of success so that he can go to Scally in the summer and go, look what I've done with this. Give me a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then we'll see where I take you.
Yeah. Well, you look at the first year under Justin, where he had pretty much the same side as this in terms of young, hungry footballers. And we finished off well, didn't we? I think we've roughly finished.
I think we finished
11th?
Yeah, it might have been 10th, like 11th. That. Yeah.
And then, yeah, Scally thought, oh, you know what? I've got a manager here that's potentially going to take me to the big time, like the Championship. And lo and behold, like Justin went and spunked all the money on a crack load of footballers. And, yeah, went and blew it. But, yeah, there's, while Scally would be stupid to not back that man in the summer and not give him the tools to go and get this football club into the Championship. And I think Steve will stay. I think he will, because there's a challenge and a project here.
Yeah, and I think the Akindi one is an eye-opener. Because like I say, listen, he's not bankrupting the club, John McKinney coming in. He's not that expensive a footballer, but under Steve Lovell, Adrian Pennock, I don't think they convinced Scally to get John McKinney through the door.
Well, we don't. Under Steve Lovell and Adrian Pennock, we do not sign Jack Bonham. We do not sign Tommy O'Connor, Alfie Jones, Stuart O'Keefe, Jordan Graham, John McKinney, Jordan Roberts. We don't sign any of them. Simple as that.
It's true. It is true. And Evans has got Akindi in January because he's laid a good enough foundation there to go to Scally and go, look, give me a forward and I'll kick us on second half of the season. And because he's delivered the results to show that, Scally will be willing to back
and
him.
And this is an interesting one for you. Me and James Clearwood speaking before the game today. And we're talking about Jack Tucker.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Go on.
If Evans was not in charge this season...
No, is the answer to your question.
Do you think he would have been released?
All right, the answer is, I think he'd have left.
Yeah.
I think, and he might have been offered a new cup. I think, I remember reading something with Jack, it might have been on Kent Online 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's, I'm sure I remember him saying, it's weird with timing in football, because before Evans came in, he nearly went in the summer, because he thought he wasn't going to get games here.
No.
And all of a sudden Evans comes in, pre-season turns up, and he goes, no, I want a little bit of you.
Yeah.
In you come.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he got in the team and hasn't looked back.
No.
Listen, Jack Tucker, at the start of this season, surely wouldn't have been drastically better a footballer than he would have been last season if he'd have been played.
No.
Just the manager last season did not trust young players enough to use them.
No.
And Steve Evans, because within a week of Evans being here, he went, yeah, I like the look of him. So he didn't take much convincing.
No, he just obviously saw something about him. And
they've just, Evans has just been the perfect fit for Jack. And to be honest, Evans has just fit the football club like hand in glove this season.
He's been brilliant.
People think he wasn't the right fit. I think he's exactly what we needed at exactly the right time.
And exactly what we need for the next 2, 3, 4 years
at
this football club. It is about time this football club keep a bit of stability. I'm sick and tired of seeing player and manager in and out the door. It's boring. Fans don't want to see it. At the end of the day, whether the fans or some of the fans do not like Steve Evans, this man, if we can keep hold of him, will take Gillingham Football Club back to the Championship. Whether it's this season or next season, or even a season after that, he will stay, if obviously backed, and he will take us back there. I still think that he is the best manager outside the Championship. I still think that.
I don't think that's a statement far wrong. I've got to be. Yeah, you look through this, the managers in our league, and who would you really say that? You look at proven success at this level.
Yeah.
Who competes?
Managers like Steve Evans do not come to Gillingham Football Club. So he must have come here for a reason. There must be something about us that attracted him to us. There must be something. And a simple fact is that we have got a potential to be a Championship football club. And I think he fully will know in his head that we weren't going to be this season. But I think he wants to make damn right sure that we're going to be next year. And I think we will be. I think if we do not get promoted this year, we'll get promoted next year. And he'll make 100% sure of that. Like, I love him. I think he's brilliant. I think he's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely outstanding. And the way... Look at him with the fans at the end. He's got like a training session Thursday.
Yeah, I see that.
Things like that.
That's the second time this season that he's done that.
Little things like that just mean so much to the Gillingham fans. That's what I mean. We are slap right in the middle of a promotion race, but yet he's so laid back and so chilled out and so experienced that, you know what? We're out on the doors to you. Come on. We're not going to keep anything secret. Come down and enjoy your day and meet the players. It's good. It's a feel-good factor around the football club at the moment. And it's because of it. And credit to Paul Rayner as well. Credit to Royce. Another great appointment by him in the summer. Bring Simon Royce back. He knew the club inside out. He knew what it had to take. I think Paul Rayner's been, brilliant. I love his antics on the sideline. And he kicks and heads and passes every single football. And when we score, he acts like a Jules fan. And that's what you want to see. Last season, we were scoring a goal and I was seeing Steve Lovell fucking standing there with his arms folded. Don't want to see... Yeah, good. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. See you later. I'd rather have Steve Evans, Paul Rainer, thank you. Cheers. And it's like... That's what I mean. People complain about their antics on the sideline. Love it. I love the fact that guy, when he got sent off today, Evans was like literally in a full official face. Love it. Love that. Halfway down the touchline when we score last minute equaliser at Blackpool Tuesday night. Brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. That's exactly what you want to see because it rubs off on the players. Because if the players can see the management cares, they will run through brick walls for you. And every single one of the players, whether they're on the bench or starting 11, are running through brick walls and ready to go with war with Steve Evans and his management. It's good times.
Yeah, which hopefully will continue on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Lastly, before we finish, I will ask you for your prediction for Tuesday night's game. We are heading down.
We are going.
We are heading down, yeah. Yeah. Probably like the fifth time up into Southend now, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe even the sixth. Well, I had the 4-0 defeat is the only one I've seen there. I've seen us draw 1-1. Luke Norris scored. I've seen us win 1-0. Weltdow, I think, in the title season.
Boxing. New Year's Day?
Yep.
Signed Leon Legg.
Yes.
Signed Leon Legg that day.
And I was at both 3-1s.
And Andrew Cross turned up.
Yes.
No, that weren't him. No, that weren't New Year's Day, because it weren't that year.
No, that was...
Andrew Cross did turn up at Southend.
The one where Norris scored, I think. 1-0.
Was it the 1-0? Yeah, and he just rocked up. No one knew. Oh. And then Jules announced it. Worked out, Leon Legg's debut.
And yeah, we beat them twice in 4 days in the league and in the cup, the 3-1s.
Oh, Phil Brown was quite that we were going to win the league if we kept Joe Emmanuel Thomas.
Yeah, so...
And then he left 4 months before the end of the season.
My record at Rootsall isn't too bad. But yeah, what are you thinking score-wise?
3-1, Jules.
3-1. I don't think we concede.
You don't think so?
No.
No?
And I do think we... Yeah, admittedly, their own goals today. But we seem to have found a little bit of more luck in getting the ball in. Because I think 3 or 4 months ago, a team don't score 2 own goals against us. They hit the post and come out or something like that.
And you really think 18-year-old's going to deal with John McKinney?
So,
come on.
Yeah, I think we do keep a clean sheet. And I do think we win this one comfortably. And I'd wait to be bit on the arse with it and get it wrong. But I think we win 3-0.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You are confident, mister.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
Goal scorers. So,
goal scorers. If we're going to score 3, you're going to have to give the big man 1.
Yeah.
Brandon. What are you laughing at?
Sorry. Brendan.
Or as the guy behind us calls him, Brendan. Yeah.
Brendan, right.
I'll go for the front 3. Roberts for the 3rd one. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I laugh, really. I'm a little bit harsh on Brandon. I'm a little bit harsh. He works ever so hard for this Chelsea side. He's just very, very, very frustrating for me. But, look, the promotion race is back on because he scored the winner tonight. So, thank you very much. I'm going to go... Yeah, I've gone 3-1. I'm going to go the big man. I'm going to go Roberts. And I'm going to go... Well, I don't know. It depends who starts in the field, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because if someone don't play, then they're not going to score. Well,
yeah, but I don't know. That's what I mean. I don't know who's going to... I can't pick the midfield. I can pick the front 3. I'll stuff it. I'll go Brandon Anlin. Go on, then. Go on.
Well, yeah, let's hope one of us are right of our predictions, because if so, it'll be another 3 points coming back to Kent. And, yeah, playoff gap could be down to 4 points come Tuesday evening. Yeah, let's hope that's the case and continues the momentum onto Lincoln away next Saturday. And until then, up Jules.